Hey everybody, I'm Luke.
And I'm Kurt.
Welcome back to The Breakdown.
Here we are. Ta-da! I feel like everybody deserves an overwhelming round of applause and a standing ovation.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, people that were here late into the night previous week getting ready for Easter.
Some folks, I mean, sleeping here, working really, really hard. So, man, what a day on Sunday. And I'm going to tell you something. I was really glad that Pastor Zach took the time to run through the list of thank yous. And I was really proud of him kind of taking that step. You run the risk when you do that, that you could inevitably forget somebody and hurt some type of feelings. But to not offer at least as many as you can remember, I think would be
absolutely
a miss.
Yep.
I loved it.
Oh, yeah. And especially since a lot of those giftings, like the building gifting, you know, those more administrative, boots on the ground, serving in the background, a lot of those people, they're not the ones that are going to be seen.
No.
And a lot of times they don't want to be seen.
Correct.
But it's important that we understand that we are a family.
Yes.
And all these things that go into play to get us where we feel the Lord is calling us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody plays a part. And if you did serve, because there were hundreds of people that served.
I know.
The Lord sees you and you are just as much part of it as people whose names were mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that has to be your sort of, I actually appreciate, and I think for those who like being behind the scenes, you take comfort in the fact of like, when people don't know what you did, it actually makes you feel better because the Lord knows. And I think a lot as I was watching Pastor Zach go through the list of people he was grateful for. And again, I'm sure that there were some that were missed. And thank you for being patient and understanding. It just reminded me of how Moses in Exodus, we see that he gets the revelation on the mountain about what the tabernacle is going to look like. But the scripture says that the Lord had put a spirit inside of Bezalel to actually make these things a reality.
Yeah.
And how it is, you talk about being the body or the family of Christ. And this is actually what happens, that you have a vision, but you know, it's never one person. It's always the Lord surrounding, if not for the groups of people and everybody that made it a reality. And even the service men and women. I don't mean like, you know, police and fire, but that was a part of it too.
Yeah.
But I mean the men and women who are serving from companies, like the different electricians and plumbing. Like, it was just so cool to see so much went into making this a reality.
Yes, yes. It's a huge testament to how God works and how the body of Christ functions.
Yes.
Where we all play a part and we all get to serve with one another. So we are part of everything that has happened.
Yes.
And maybe Sunday was your first time.
I know.
Visiting.
Yep.
Which that's pretty awesome if it is.
It really kind of is. And again, thanks for if it was the first Sunday and you're finding us on The Breakdown, praise God. We're glad you got a hold of us. But we like to take time on this breakdown to kind of cover what happened on a Sunday, not necessarily play by play, but the overall time of worship and the word and the heart of what the Father's doing on a Sunday service.
Yeah, because there's so much that happens.
Yeah.
It's important that we take the time to, you know, talk about it and flesh it out. And oftentimes, like even for me, while we're having these conversations, the Lord is always showing me new insights of what actually took place.
Yeah. You know, starting from the gate, as we could say on Sunday, I do want to say just, hey, thank you so much from Pastor Zach and Ashley, the rest of the leadership team. Thank you so much for your patience and your grace. Like I loved what I heard on Sunday from a number of different people. Listen, we get it. It's new to have the doors of the sanctuary closed and that those would open up a half hour beforehand. We get it that might be challenging for the early risers or the people who love to grab their seat. That's not lost on Pastor Zach and Ashley and the leadership. And what I love that I heard overall was that, hey, you know what? Everybody is trying their best. Like from just all of us in the group, and everyone who's running this is trying their best and they're just working it out as best as they see fit.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best heart attitude. That is the posture that we need to take. Will things change? I'm sure that there's going to be adjustments and tweaks along the way. And it's just good to be flexible.
Yeah, no, it was actually really cool for me.
Okay.
Because, you know, I sometimes serve in worship and choir or the cafe.
Yep.
And it just didn't work out for me to do any of those things this Sunday. So I got to have what I call like the ground floor experience.
Wow.
And It was awesome. It was honestly such a gift.
Oh, so good.
The Lord met me in such a personal way in worship.
Wow.
But even just getting to mingle with everyone before the service, I really think that that time before service is going to be a really great window for us to connect with one another. Because it can be overwhelming. I mean, look at all the people.
Yeah.
It's massive.
Yeah.
It's huge. There's so much that happens. But those conversations beforehand and connecting with people and intentionally asking yourself, God, who do you want me to talk to?
I know.
How do you want, who should I be connecting with? Who can I be praying with before the service?
It's good.
Who do I need to have pray over me? Like, so, you know, we can start doing work now. That time before is so important.
Yeah.
Super, super important. It's family time.
I really appreciate what you're saying about that. If you look at it like a family, because I was meditating on this coming in today, that we are a spiritual family. It's one of our core values. And if you look at it like a family, you might go to Easter dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner, whatever, Thanksgiving dinner. Did I ever say that one? I think I did. Either way, you go to the dinner.
Never enough dinner.
No, there's never. Okay. That's how you and I feel. And you know what? Dinner's not ready yet.
Yeah.
Dinner's not ready yet. And so what's happening? We're all hanging out on the couch. Maybe the game is on, or we're grabbing a coffee and the hors d'oeuvres are out, and we're fellowshipping. We're hanging out with one another. And yeah, we all know we're going to gather around that table and we're going to share a meal. We're going to break bread together, but we're enjoying the time before we come to the table. And I really like the way you're putting that, because if we can begin thinking that it is not about coming in and, you know, I don't want to keep harping on this, but making sure that I grab my seat, or I get to the location, or I get the right spot. And if we start looking at, okay, God, what is it that you have for me and through me today, as I come in?
Even the seat that you do sit in, go into it saying, well, God knew I was going to sit in this seat. He knew I was going to sit around these people. So God, what do you have for me, or what do you want to do through me even right here?
Yeah.
Because the altar is wherever you are.
So good. So good. I want to just kind of give you kind of a couple of broad stroke things that I saw happening throughout the week in preparation, right down to one of the electricians just turning to Pastor Zach and saying, hey, listen, what time is your service on Sunday? It was just really cool. These men and women who put in so many hours on this building are like, you know what? This is not all for naught. Like, I got to find out what's going on here. And that's awesome. And then to see that we have this whole, you know, chair campaign, if you want to call it that loosely, but a seat for everyone. And now to see, I mean, as I looked out from the stage and I got to see, I was really taken aback and really in awe. I don't even know how to say it, but not even just at the sea of people, but at the hunger and the thirst and the seeking and the desire to just want to connect with the Lord and to be encouraged by one another around us.
Well, and that's what it is we have to, and I'm going to encourage all of you, especially if this is your first time.
Yes.
It can be very overwhelming.
Sure, sure.
You're walking into the move of God.
Mm.
Now, God is doing something in any church, any person that is seeking after him. Okay? So when you walked in, whether you knew it or not, you're encountering the move of God, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you.
Yeah.
So it may take time for you to grow and in your understanding of what that is, and whether your role here, like what your role here is going to be, or even like what it means to have God move.
Yeah, for
that,
sure.
That's a whole new that might be a whole new concept to you.
Yeah.
But God is doing something, and so we have to learn to let's see past just like the building and understand that this is a group that is centered around the presence of God.
Amen.
And I think like Kurt, you and I have we are testaments of this. We were not there when the church first started.
Correct.
And it's so we too came in God's time, in God's way, and God is using us. So understand, like, if you are feeling overwhelmed or you are unsure, explore that with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that should not be something that causes you to turn away or, I can't go back there. I felt overwhelmed. I honestly didn't know how to put words to what I felt.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep encountering God. Ask God right now, God, what is it that I was feeling? You guide me in truth.
Yeah, that's so good. And I just want to give props to anybody who said, I actually can remember in times past on what would be considered holiday services, Pastor's Act does not often encourage people to come down, mm-hmm. but more so make a decision from their seat. Yeah. And I loved yeah. that he gave the time at the end of the message for the call to say, hey, listen, I know it's bold. Mm-hmm. I know it's bold to ask you to come. And just I just want to give a major shout out and prop to anybody who said, I'm going there. I don't even yep. maybe know what's prompting me, but yeah. I know I'm struggling to receive forgiveness and acceptance.
Yes.
I'm furthermore struggling to give that forgiveness mm-hmm. and
yes.
acceptance.
Because this, in the presence of God, we are changed.
Yes.
So our will is that you would be changed. My will for myself is that I would be changed. And I know that God is making me more into Jesus.
Yes.
So it's, you're never done changing or growing.
Mm-hmm.
But we aren't changed by man, we are changed by God.
Yes.
And so what you saw on Sunday,
oh, that's good.
That is the heart of what God wants and what God desires, mm-hmm. and that's what we're after here.
You know, part of the reason that we place a premium on the presence of God, and that's what we're after in all of our service time, is that we know it's his presence that yeah. transforms our lives. It is not just, you know, it could be so many different things, mm-hmm. but we understand that it is the presence yep. of the Lord and mm-hmm. through his Holy Spirit that we receive that transformation. And that comes in our time of worship. And it really comes also in addition with our time in the Word, studying yes. out the Word, mm-hmm. letting the Word confirm what the Lord started in that experiential piece in the worship.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in the worship, we're having emotions and connections mm-hmm. that we don't have
yes.
words for.
Right, right.
And getting into the Word of God helps us to understand the reality of what's going on. That
truth.
Worship and Word, that
yes.
Spirit and Word go together.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah. yeah. Awesome. So listen. We're so glad you're coming out. We want to dive back into what took place on Sunday and just see what the Lord has for us. Again, you have these two main points, I would say we could boil everything down to. This ability of Jesus being beaten, flogged, marred more than any man, you know, his whole body being not even definable, describable. It says in Isaiah that he was, you couldn't even tell his visage. You couldn't even see that it was him just because of how much his flesh had been torn open by all the beating. And with that understanding, yet he says these words, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And how could it be, and this is part of what Pastor Zach was bringing out, how could it be that in that position, that would be what comes out of your mouth?
Yeah.
And he brings us all the way to the resurrection to right. understand that the only way this is possible mm-hmm. is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we can't give what we don't have.
Yep.
A lot of times we're encouraging people to forgive, to forgive, to forgive, and we have not really received that forgiveness for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so where Pastor Zach ended is the very place that we need to pick up, that right. you have to receive that forgiveness first from the Lord. You have to accept that everything that you think is keeping you from God has already been covered mm-hmm. and paid for.
Yep.
And as you receive that and you receive the Holy Spirit, that will be what enables you to forgive the sins of others so that you're not retaining them on yourselves.
Right, right. Well, you know, and that's the whole story of the Bible. That's the whole story of mankind.
Because
if we go back to the beginning, you know, God created a perfect world, Adam and Eve, and then they sinned and sin came into the world. But from that time, God already had a promise in place that he wanted to have the restoration of relationship
yes.
with us. So the heart of God is towards forgiveness. So when Jesus is dying on the cross, he's fully expressing the heart of God, which is, I'm going to take on the punishment because
yeah.
sin requires a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to pay.
Yeah,
but I'm going to take it on myself. And then because I have paid the price, I can forgive as God.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it is just on us to receive
yes.
that forgiveness. So coming to Jesus really is receiving his forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you said something really critical there, that punishment. So sin requires a punishment. And that's where we bring into like, oh, I'm not worthy to receive this forgiveness because I deserve to be punished. Mm-hmm. But this is where the Father comes into play and his Son Jesus comes into play to say that, well, yep, we all deserve that punishment, but God decided that he would put it on Jesus.
Right.
So now all we have to do is receive that.
Yeah.
And that brings us into that place. And you probably know as well as I do that, well, let me just say it this way. In the past, prior to the undoing, the glorious undoing that I've gone through, I was a real grudge holder. I really held people's sin against mm-hmm. them. I really could not get past the suffering that I had endured. Right down to, you know, being in college and studying criminal justice and all the serial killers mm-hmm. and all the mass murderers yeah. and saying, how is it that some of these now could turn to Jesus? How could the Lord permit that and allow wow. that? And the reality that the Lord brought me into the place now where it's like near impossible for me to hold a grudge, mm-hmm. which is so contrary to who mm-hmm. I used to be.
Yep.
The truth is, I wasn't receiving the love of the Father and the forgiveness myself. Mm-hmm. I was still trying to earn that place and then punish myself right. enough to say, okay, maybe now I'm worthy.
Right. And I think that that's one of the lies that we tell ourselves is, well, I have to do something.
Yes.
And the truth is you can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and you can't prepare yourself for the Father's forgiveness. You just receive it.
Yeah.
It's like the prodigal son.
Yeah.
You know, he came to his senses
right.
and he's like, okay, you know what? Everything's better in my Father's house, even as a servant. So he's not even accepting his status as a son.
No.
But he's like, I need to get to the Father's house.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes and he has this speech all prepared. He has this like, he probably is like, okay, I can probably sleep in this shed.
Yeah.
Like, probably has, you know, like that whole picture.
Yeah.
As long as I can, you know, just sleep on the property, I'll be good. And the father runs out and accepts him, and he doesn't say any words. Like he just starts. The son doesn't say any words. Like
yeah.
the father just starts saying, "Okay, we're gonna put a robe on him, a ring," and he gives him this high place and this status as his son.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the forgiveness is. So it's God offers forgiveness to you, and you can receive it before you truly even understand the meaning of it.
Yes, this is really good. And to understand, you know, I believe that the prodigal is actually saying, Father, I'm not worthy to be called a son. Like, let me be a servant in your house. The father just completely ignores what he's saying because that position never changes.
Right.
You're a son.
Yes.
You're a son. And to come to that place, that is what makes salvation so beautiful and why it's good news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've made the gospel in several years past, we made the gospel about hellfire and brimstone, trying to scare people into the kingdom. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, you don't have to scare people when you simply tell them that the Lord has already opened the door. There's nothing that you can do or have done or will ever do that could ever keep God
right.
from making this open invitation to you. You just have to receive it.
Yeah.
You just have to, Zach, that's why it's good news.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there
right.
to turn to it and just receive it. But you're right. There's this part of human nature and religion has helped it.
Mm-hmm.
There's this part that says there has to be something I do.
Right, right. And then even after we've received that
yes.
forgiveness, it's so positionally
yeah.
You are now back in the Father's house, you are his son. But then there's all this finding out just how far that forgiveness goes.
Mm.
And so it's really becomes this life of God always telling you, oh, put that down. That grudge, yeah, you're going to put that down too. I covered that. Mm. Oh, you didn't know? I paid for that too. That judgment you have even against yourself, put that down.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's unloading all these bags.
Yes.
That you are finding out God paid for that baggage fee.
Mm-hmm. You know, Luke, we've done a disservice in communicating what forgiveness is. Because we're believers, we've placed a demand on, according to the scripture, you know, we don't go to the fullness. So we're like, scripture says you got to forgive. Jesus says you got to forgive. And Pastor Zach was talking about that on Sunday. Otherwise, you're going to retain those sins of others. But the truth is, we've always placed the demand on forgiveness, and we haven't really taught how to forgive. And I believe the discovery here, we've talked about it on the show
yeah.
before, we talk about it at school. The part that the Lord has really helped me with is to not just choose to forgive, that's
right.
the first step, but to ask the Lord for how he sees that person
mm-hmm.
who has offended or wounded you severely.
Yep. Oh yeah, yeah.
You need that supernatural picture from heaven. And I will dare say this because I've seen it in my own life. The reason we struggle to forgive ourselves mm-hmm. is because we're still looking at ourselves like the earthly
yes.
image instead
yes.
of how God sees us.
Yes.
We need That's that good. Revelation from him.
That's good. Yeah.
When I went through my own experience in deliverance with Pastor John, he went through all the stuff. He mm-hmm. picked me up, threw yeah. me in front of the mirror. And it's like, your biggest problem
yeah.
is you won't see yourself the way that yes. God sees you.
Yes. Yes. And that also is going back to the very beginning.
Yes.
We are different from the animals because we are made in God's image.
Yes.
So there is the imprint of the divine on our nature.
Yeah.
We are a spirit, soul, and body.
Yes.
So there is that eternal part of us and our ability to reflect God's nature.
Yeah. You and I were talking about this. There may be a bit of confusion with Pastor Zach calling, you know, saying like little gods. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to understand from Genesis to Revelation, you can actually capture the essence of this reality. Mm-hmm. Real simply, if you just look at it like you just said, okay, you have all 5 days of creation, and then Adam is looking at everyone, looking at everything rather, and there's no helper suitable for him, mm-hmm. okay? Before that, on that sixth day, when the Lord is forming man from the dust of the ground, there is that unique part where he breathes into him
right.
the breath
right.
of life, the right. spirit,
yes.
the spirit of life.
Yes.
And the scripture says that man became a living, that means spirit being.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know, I've had this dialogue with several people. Some people struggle with the idea of spirit, soul, and body, but it actually makes the most sense.
Yes.
And you have scripture to support it. 1 Thessalonians talks about, Paul says, beloved, I pray, you know, that your spirit, soul, and body might be preserved
right.
blameless. Mm-hmm. So we have these pictures that we are three-part beings. And furthermore, when we're born from above, born again,
yes.
it's that spirit that's born again.
Correct.
And it has to work out to our soul mm-hmm. and to our body.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept of the little gods that I think maybe we're struggling with, you see, Jesus says, you know, doesn't the scripture say, behold, I have called you gods? What is that? Okay, look at it. Adam is created mm-hmm. and he was given dominion and authority
yeah.
over the earth. Mm-hmm. He was vested with authority to govern the earth. Now he turned around and he gave that authority over to Satan, which is how the New Testament refers to Satan mm-hmm. as the god of this world.
Yeah.
In fact, Jesus says in John 12, 30 and 31, and now is the judgment of the world, for now the ruler, the magistrate, mm-hmm. the one with authority
yes.
on the earth will be cast out.
Mm-hmm.
So we see that Satan, we don't have any problem looking at Satan as the god of this world, but to look at us and say, we're gods on this earth. Well, we have been given that divine authority,
right.
that divine nature. Right.
And that's what we're getting at.
That's
it's not
what it
that
is.
We are like God. That was the false promise that Satan made to Eve.
That's right.
The serpent said, God knows you're going to become like him. And it's like, no, because we could never be like God. But we reflect him in that the imprint of the divine in us. And that's what makes human life so sacred.
Mm.
And that's what makes us coming into relationship with God so much more than just, okay, he paid for my sin.
Yeah.
It's okay, well, what does that mean? What is this new life about now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's about you walking out that image of God in you and being a vehicle of transformation and life to others.
Yeah. You and I were talking about maybe the struggle with the quote lowercase g God mm-hmm. idea. Is that we're not a god to ourselves.
No, we're not.
This was Satan's mm-hmm. trap. This was his
yep.
problem. You had said something really interesting. So before we go on that, I want to go back a little bit. Satan coming to the woman and saying, oh, God knows that when you eat of this, you're going to become like him. Why is that so contrary? Because the scripture already started with the Lord saying, let us make man in our image.
In our image.
In our image.
Yes.
They were already
yes.
in the
you
image
were already
of God.
Like God in a sense.
It's right there.
Yeah.
It's not that hard,
right.
but we make it this struggle.
Exactly.
And I think part of what you're communicating, which I love, you help me mm-hmm. understand, is this new age movement to say,
yes,
like,
that you are God, the God within.
Can yeah.
That is a false, that's the way Satan takes this truth of us being made in the image of God
mm-hmm.
and repackages it.
It's so true.
So he's saying, so you'll hear, you know, like gurus or, you know, different things like, oh, you're going to manifest and you're usually going to connect to the God within. Look inward, look to yourself. You are God-like. You know, you got to empty your mind and just become your destiny, okay? So the thing is, for each of those lines, there's kind of like a spiritual truth
yep,
to it.
Yep.
But the thing that Satan does is he repackages it and makes you the center of everything.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. And nothing will ever work in your life if you are the center of everything. If you are your own God, yeah, like you're going to go down all kinds of paths. That's how we end up with all these different views on gender and even just like moral. Oh, well, it's whatever is right for me is right for me. What's right for you is right for you, even though two contradictory things cannot be true at once. Mm-hmm. But this is the kind of disorder that happens when we go down Satan's path of, oh, I am my own God.
Right.
I am my own authority. Mm-hmm. Because the truth is, you need authority.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be under God's authority. And it's when we are in that proper place, back into that proper relationship,
which
is what Jesus' death opened up for us.
Yes.
That's when we come into that order, and then things start to work. Things start to like, oh, wow, like I can see how God has gifted me uniquely.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses me and speaks to me in my spirit.
Yeah.
But not to puff me up.
Yeah.
But to comfort me and counsel me, and then makes me a vessel of healing to others. And yes, wow, my words matter. My prayers matter. I can go into a situation and pray and God can change it.
Yeah.
But it's not to build my own kingdom.
That's right.
It's to build his kingdom.
That's right. You're bringing everything down to the most important fact. And that is what we talk about every time on this show, that it's about relationship. God established man to have someone to have likeness and relationship with.
Yeah.
If you want to understand, the angels, they were just spirits. They were messengers. They were to do God's bidding and his work. He did not have this interpersonal relationship like he wanted with man.
Mm-hmm.
There is something unique and different about man being a body, having a place of dominion and authority, having equality with God. And even people hearing that, it can sometimes be a struggle. But when you understand what Jesus did and opening up that door to solidify that relationship, it's an invitation to a relationship that, like you said, is not about me being this puffed up one who's governing and making all these realities. No, I don't have that authority.
Right. And like Jesus is our brother now.
Yes.
And I think even for some people, that can be its own journey that you have to walk.
Yeah.
God is your father. That's a whole other thing.
Yes.
And then Jesus is your savior and your Lord.
Yeah.
But he's also your brother.
Yes, he is. And this, like you said, this could be a little bit of a long journey, and maybe we're going down the rabbit trail, but that's okay. Follow us. These are all things that we can learn in time, but I think the most important thing is to dial it back that this was all always about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've quoted a number of times here what Jesus said, that many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, did we not do this in your name?
Right.
Did we not do that in your name? And I will say to them, depart from me.
Right.
I never knew you. It's always about relationship. It is never about power and authority.
Right.
So coming to this place where we receive the forgiveness of Jesus with the Father, we come into a right standing with God, providing us righteousness. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what every man needs to know, every woman needs to know, what mankind needs to know is that God is at peace with you. He is not at war with you if you would just turn around,
turn
to him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's already opened up the invitation, already opened up the door. Mm-hmm. And that, my friend, is what empowers us to then offer that forgiveness to others.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so we come to that second passage, which is in John 20.
Mm-hmm.
So John 20, I believe Pastor Zach read verses 19 through 23. So this is after Jesus has risen from the dead.
Mm.
And John paints this picture that the disciples are huddled in this room and the doors were shut for fear. So it's this room where the disciples are hiding and the only thing they're feeling is fear. And then Jesus appears in the room.
Yeah. And he shows him his hands, he shows him his feet and his side, and he says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you.
So I send you.
It's that same authority. You see it right there.
And he breathes on them. So it's almost like I can't lose the parallels with the creation story.
Come on, man.
He's doing it again. God is doing it again.
Yeah.
And he gives us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is God.
Mm.
Okay, so if you turn to Jesus and you want that relationship with him, he puts the Holy Spirit inside of you.
Yes.
And Jesus told his disciples, it is better for you that I go.
Yeah.
So then the whole, because when I go, then God will send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, just like me, but he will be inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard a pastor on a message recently say this, that he believes that God inside of you is better than Jesus beside you.
So good.
But we lose that
fact. I know
fact.
We do. I know we do. Oh, it's so good, man. Mm-hmm. We often look at it and we say, oh, if I could just have been there in the garden, you wouldn't have done anything different. We would have fallen the same way. Or if I could just have been with Jesus. Right. But no, that Holy Spirit inside of us is greater. Yeah. This is a powerful reality.
And he breathes that into them while they're feeling all this fear and unrest. So I don't know what you're feeling right now.
Yeah.
But if you are turning to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I don't even know what it fully means, but I accept the forgiveness that you offer.
Yeah.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit. He's going to fill, he does that.
That's right.
Before your, it's not about you getting your feelings in order. Mm. It's no, he comes in because you can't get your feelings
no.
in order. He has to put everything in order, but it's you accepting and then he breathes that into you.
Yeah.
And now you start this whole journey of walking through that forgiveness. And now because you have the Holy Spirit, that's what gives you the power to actually forgive, because in our rebellious state without Jesus, we can't do it.
Yeah, I know. That's so good. You know, it's interesting how powerfully the Lord moves in the midst of our ignorance. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we don't have to have it all figured out. We just have to surrender.
Yeah.
We just have to surrender. You want to know what's funny, Lucas? You and I started out this show hoping to be really, really simple. And I'm not sure that we cut it down that simple, but I know that was our heart. Our heart was to make it really simple. But hey, we definitely tried. And there's so much more in what we're saying mm-hmm. that we flesh out in other classes or yep. in other teachings. And so if you are interested, you know, we can let you know more about that. Just email us at info@hpc.church. Mm-hmm. But between the School of the Spirit yeah. or some other Bible studies, we can get you connected. And even in a greenhouse and some of the teachings we have yep. offered there. This is necessary that we grow in this place of understanding, yeah. but it doesn't yeah. have to be that we understand it all for God to have his way in our lives.
No.
Yeah.
Yep. Often it's the healing happens and then the understanding yeah. happens later.
Yeah.
And the healing happens before you even see it sometimes.
Yeah.
Oftentimes I think that's how it is. Like I'll see in my life, like I'll pray a prayer and it's only like maybe days later or a time later that I'm like, oh, wow, that prayer was answered.
Mm.
Because things can take time. They don't always happen in an instant.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, you know, like Luke was saying earlier, we don't know exactly where you are, like what your feelings are, what you might be struggling with, you know, and let's just say this real quick. We do like to bring this up pretty regularly that forgiving someone mm-hmm. is not an acceptance of the offense or the sin that they've committed against you. What it is it's releasing
yes.
you from that place of judgment over their lives. We tend to hold on to that, I'm going to hold this forgiveness ransom because of what they did to me, mm-hmm. and we're going to make them pay somehow. And the truth is, we're the ones that end up paying
yeah.
in the long run, because as Pastor Zach said from this passage right here, mm-hmm. we're retaining those sins in ourselves.
Yeah.
We're making that poison become a reality for us. And the power to forgive and to release does so much when you're able and when you're willing. And that's really what it boils down to sometimes mm-hmm. is just even in ignorance being willing to forgive because you yep. know it's destroying you.
Yep. And Jesus did it. So, and he doesn't ask us to do anything that he didn't do.
Yeah. That's so good. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I know our show's gone a little bit late, but I want to say this. I was praying about this one day. I'm saying, Lord, how could Jesus say, Father, forgive them? They don't know what they're doing. And the Lord began to reveal to me, I believe, that if you pull back the curtain, although these people knew in the natural that they were crucifying a man, whipping a man, flogging a man, beating a man, although in the natural they knew that, in the spiritual, they had no idea what they were doing.
Know.
And the scripture confirms that had mm-hmm. they known they were crucifying the Lord of glory, they wouldn't, mm-hmm. you know, they wouldn't have done that. And so when somebody offends me and hurts me, even if they're directly intentional and they're trying to yep. wound me, I have to look like Jesus and say, wait a minute, if they were to look in the spirit world, if they were to look at what they're actually doing, mm-hmm. chances are they don't know mm-hmm. what they're doing yeah. to me in the spirit.
Yeah.
And they're just being used mm-hmm. right now, or they're hurt, they're coming from their own hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think it's important that when we're in those times, the temptation and the natural instinct is, well, I got hurt so by this person, I need them, like they need to fix it or they need to pay. And, you know, justice is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Justice reflects the heart of God.
Yeah.
Right. But in our broken world, that takes time, and justice is sometimes put out imperfectly.
Yeah.
So we need, that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because I need true healing. True healing comes from my spirit. And this is where, you know, Paul talks about, like, you know, when you pray to God, God will give you peace mm-hmm. that goes beyond understanding. So like even in the midst of that injustice,
yeah,
God will show up in such a way that you will receive more of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard even for me to like put it into words because it's so unique.
It is.
For each situation.
Yeah.
But God is not a God who's far. He's a God who's near.
Yeah.
And if you have received his forgiveness, he is inside of you, and he's there to comfort and counsel you. And so we have to use that.
That's so good. That's awesome. All right. Well, listen, we want to pray for you before we break today and just allow the Lord to seal the work and continue to do the work that's going on inside of all of us right now as he brings things up. So I'll pray.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for the time you've given us to dialogue and run through Sunday service. We thank you for the awesome work that you're doing. And as we were reminded today, just rehearsing and thinking through Sunday, what it was like, the beauty of encountering you, the beauty of interacting with one another, and coming to the place where we can be open to acknowledge that maybe we haven't received your forgiveness. Maybe we have not let you love us to the depth that you want to, and we are making others suffer for it because we can't give what we don't have. And so we pray for an openness in our hearts. Holy Spirit, you've been so present with us from our time gathering on Sunday to our time right here in this podcast. And we thank you right now that you are present among us to reveal any area of our life that we may be holding unforgiveness or bitterness, even towards ourself, any image of ourself that is exalted above your image of us. We have a responsibility through your word to tear down those strongholds and every high place, every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God. And from that place, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So wherever my thoughts or our thoughts, wherever the images or our images of ourselves that are in alignment with you, we ask you to help us tear those down to receive your full forgiveness. And wherever we have held somebody's sin against them, would you help us, Holy Spirit, to move into a place of forgiving them and releasing them the same way that we have been forgiven? We thank you for this and give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm Luke.
And I'm Kurt.
That's The Breakdown.
We'll catch you next week.